following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Today's Corolla Classics is brought to you by LifeLock. Tax season is scary enough, but the IRS is issuing warnings to watch out for ghost tax preparers. These ghost preparers don't sign as the paid tax preparer in your tax return, which could be a red flag that you may become a victim of scam or refund fraud. And it's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put our information at risk on the internet, and in an instant, a cybercriminal could harm what's yours, your finances, your credit, your reputation. But good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. And if they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert. You have access to a dedicated restoration specialist if you become a victim. You got to check it out. It's LifeLock. Tell them about it, Gio.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Hello and welcome to Corolla Classics for May 8th, 2021, the show where we highlight some of the greatest moments in Adam Carolla's show history. My name's Chris Loxamana, the executive producer of The Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Chris. Happy Saturday. It's already deep into May, so I guess time just moves at this rate now.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful day in Wisconsin. That's right. Adam and I are in Wisconsin right now doing some live shows. So if there are any tickets available tonight, just go check it out, Skyline, and come on down. All right.
It's fun last-minute plans.
Yeah, exactly. I like spontaneity. Let's get going with our first clip here. This one, we're going to bring you guys back to 2009, the very first year of the podcast. Adam Scott, who, not the golfer, the actor, who you would know from Parks and Rec, Step Brothers, Party Down.
Boy Meets World, if you're a real OG.
He was Griff in Boy Meets World, that's right. And I am an OG, Gio. Anyway, he sat down with Adam back in 2009 to talk about Billy Jack.
Yeah, they have a whole history because his wife was the former assistant from Adam and Jimmy Kimmel at The Man Show before Adam knew you could ask your assistant to do things. So, like, the person Matt Fondelier is probably most jealous of on Earth. And she actually tried out, not really tried, she filled in as the news girl when they were trying to find a replacement before Teresa on the old morning show, and she was killer. She was really good. And this is a funny clip from 2009. It's episode 51 of the Adam Carolla podcast format. It's from April of 2009. It aired in early May. Jeez, I guess, was that 12 years ago? It opens with some riffing on Billy Jack and then Adam Scott's upbringing, Santa Cruz, and how he got into acting. It kind of cuts off there. It's a nice little funny chunk. Check it out.
The thing about these channels is that, and I heard this weird statistic, and this is that these companies make all this money because people get Showtime or HBO or Stars, and they don't cancel them unless they move because they just forget about it. And until they're like moving their cable system and reassessing what they have, they usually don't bother to cancel it. So whether you're using Stars or any of these channels or not, you're just giving them $12 a month
right,
without even really. So they have so much money. I don't know. I mean, I know that Stars is cool, and it seems like HBO and Showtime, I think it's all kind of the same thing. Like they all just have, because think about if you have, say, 30 million subscribers and you're getting $12 a month from each one of them.
You're doing all right.
Yeah.
But I would always be the one, like someone would come to me and they'd go, I want to do Ben Franklin, the miniseries. And right, I'd be like, fuck it, we're running Billy Jack again. We
sure
already own that.
We have their $12.
We have their $12. Right. It cost us $4 to run Billy yeah Jack. And by the way, for the stoners that are up at 4:30 in the morning, they'd probably like to see Tom Laughlin kick some
sure
kick some redheaded ass.
I wonder how much it actually does cost to run Billy Jack. It's got to be under 5 cents at this point.
I don't know, but that if anyone wants to know what the 70s was like, just watch Billy Jack. That it was every cliche in the world. And thank God we don't have this anymore. You kids, you young kids that are listening, do not have to put up with the with the white guy from Iowa who's adapted the American Indian persona.
Oh, God. Billy Jack.
Where's Billy Jack? He's up with the elders talking to the rattlesnakes.
Right.
Following the shaman. Like, what? He's whiter than I am. His name is Tom Laughlin.
What a dick.
Everybody's that chief squatting
Even
bear.
Billy Jack is a shitty name. Like, they want something more exotic? They should go for it.
They made 15 movies about Billy Jack. And it was all just redheaded guys from the city who are just beating up the Indians who are up on the hill and raping everyone by the side of the lake. And he was using kung fu and shit back when it was magical.
Remember the love interest for the first one?
Yes.
Like the sorry looking, like dowdy hippie girl that just freaked the shit out of me as a kid.
I know. I watched that movie as a kid and it was like, Billy, your violence is just going to lead to more violence. And then next thing you know, the guy's raping her by the lake. And I'm like 9 years old, and I'm saying to my mom, Mom, you really...
And it's a mom. That was a film your mom wanted you to
watch. Yeah, my mom's like, you got to learn.
You sit down and watch this.
You don't understand how evil blue-eyed people are. Now, you have to come. Come on. Hello, we're white, Mom.
Right.
Really? We just got done watching Roots. Now I got to be dragged to this
right,
shit?
Right.
I'm going to kill myself. I'm 9. I'm going to fall on an otter pop and kill myself.
Whoever that girl is, she makes Sandra Locke seem like, I don't know,
She makes her seem like...
like Giselle. Remember Sandra Locke and Sudden
Jenny
Impact?
McCarthy.
Yeah, Jenny McCarthy.
She makes Sandra Locke seem like Jenny McCarthy,
right.
like
just
a
like
bubbly.
A bubbly hot.
First off, she seemed like she was 20 years older than Billy.
Mm-hmm.
She seemed like she'd never put on sunblock a day in her life.
Right.
And she was so bummed out. Who raped her, Donnie? You gotta
it was
think of
bikers or something.
No,
it was a rich kid.
No, it was the rich kid from the town.
Of course, the materialistic group
right.
of...
He had the Corvette.
Right.
And his name was Bernard.
Yeah, it was a gold but she, 454.
Yeah, she named it... she called him like Bernard, but she would pronounce it different, like Bernard or something. And there was a scene where he actually put stakes down in the ground and lashed her hands to
and just started
raping her by the side of the river, and then she'd be like, Billy,
don't avenge these.
Your violence
poor kids.
Is only gonna promote
Dolores
more,
Taylor. There it is.
More violence. Don't do it, Billy. Yeah. That whole movie was just one huge bummer. And then Billy went. But I, you
it
know,
was
I
all in the sunshine.
And I do love it too. Like the nice Indian kids came down from the hill. The hippie kids. They just went to the free range school up on the hill. And by the way, the hill where their school was, when they were up on the school, their school wasn't sitting on a mine shaft that had millions of dollars in oil reserves underneath it.
Right.
The white man just went up there and fucked with them for no good reason.
Right.
And I want to say this as a white guy. We fuck with people for money.
Right.
Not because we're assholes.
Right.
Now, we might be assholes while we're fucking with them for the money, but we don't burn a lot of calories. Like if you're down in the town and the sheriff goes, let's get in the four-wheel drive and go up the hill and go fuck with the Indians, someone's going to go, they don't have any money.
Who gives a shit?
Let's go write some parking tickets and drink some beer.
Right.
But they would go up there and fuck with them the whole time. And then the Indians, and there's Indians and hippies, they'd come down and like go like, hey, let's go get some ice cream. And they'd walk into the shop and they'd be like, you know your kind's not welcome here. Like, what year is this?
No, it makes no sense.
It's 1973, really?
But you're right. Like, if they just put the school on top of some valuable piece of land, something, it would have provided just a little bit more entertainment. A
little motivation.
Because I had to sit through that goddamn fucking movie like four times as a kid.
I hated
it. And my friend's dad, that's why I had to see it. My friend's dad loved it and made us watch it.
Even the whole song was, the whole Billy Jack song was the One Tin Soldier. And at the end of the song, it was like, they turned over the rock and on the rock it said, peace on earth was all it said. Even in the song, there wasn't shit under the rock.
Right.
There was nothing. There wasn't anything. It was just one big bummer. It was like, it was how old are you, by the way, Adam?
36.
You're a little bit young for Billy Jack, but I'm glad that you were forced to watch this movie many times.
I know they had a lot of them. I only saw the first one, but I saw it a bunch of times and hated it.
It was just the biggest bummer you've ever seen
in your
life.
Did you see the other ones?
I saw the trial of Billy Jack.
Ugh.
I saw Billy Jack.
Billy Jack courtroom drama? That sounds fucking
riveting.
Awful.
Billy Jack goes to Washington.
Of course,
like
he does.
Literally runs for senator.
Sure.
And guess what? He can't be bought. I don't know if you saw that one coming.
No,
a lot of big oil companies trying to buy Billy.
Couldn't have called that one.
never could have seen that one.
But I bet that he taught them a thing or two.
Something about themselves.
Did he use kung fu on the floor of Congress?
I think he did it to filibust or something. But it was such a jack-off blowhard fest. The 70s were so full of blowhard white dudes. And like I said, especially the white dude who got really invested in the Native American cause.
Yeah.
That was the number one blowhard on the block.
Well, Jim Morrison, maybe. Yes. We can maybe blame him for that.
He started it. Marlon Brando.
Definitely went there.
Getting Chief Lilliput over there to pick up his Oscar was probably a disaster.
Yeah.
The Indian by the side of the road crying, I think, may have gotten everything kicked off.
Yeah.
We went to this weird thing where we decided, you know what? We fucked with the Indians long enough. Now let's go nuts on them, but only for like 2 years.
Right.
And then we'll toss them back onto the reservation and let them die of diabetes.
Well, it was like the green movement of the past 26 months,
you know,
of 72 through 76, maybe it was, Mary, it was just lip service and as usual, probably amounted to maybe some awareness, but nothing of any real note.
No, no one
really
did anything.
Helping anyone out.
No, I don't know who you grew up around. Now, you grew up in Santa Cruz.
Yeah,
I'm guessing it was a pretty progressive group over there.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
And your family did what?
Teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So
they were kind of down with the cause?
They were, yeah, but they were also they're also pretty, you know, cynical people, so
that's good.
It's not like they were they're cool. They're not like, you know, I guess Santa Cruz is kind of hippie-ish, but
right.
We were never, I mean, maybe a little hippie-ish, I don't know, but it was always kind of a cynical household, which I think kind of served me well in a lot of ways.
Santa Cruz, California is just logistically amazingly beautiful.
It is.
And is it two-thirds of the way to San Francisco from L.A.?
It's like a 90-minute drive to San Francisco once you're in Santa Cruz, maybe an hour sometimes.
Uh-huh. So it's three-quarters of the way,
basically. Yeah, it's pretty close.
And would you go into San Francisco a lot?
I never really did. Like, if I go to San Francisco now, I just don't know my way around at all. Like, I never really got into going up there.
Santa Cruz sounds too sane a place to grow up. Like, you ever do that when you're, like, going on a vacation or a ski trip or something, and you're driving up to the top of, you know, some Mount Bear Mountain or some Mount Pinos or something, and you see a school at the top of it, but it's a public school?
Yeah.
And you're like, who goes to this public school?
Like someone actually drives up and goes here and then lives in this area?
And if they do, how lily white and sane must their life be? Like, you ever see those, like, once a year I go out to Pebble Beach for the big car concourse extravaganza, and there's a high school there that you drive past that's literally, like, on the highway, and it's the ocean.
Where did you?
Pebble Beach.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it's like a high school that looks like it's, like, overlooking the ocean and the bay, and it's picturesque and it's beautiful, and I think it's almost too nice. Like, isn't your high school supposed to have a little graffiti and one big black kid you're scared of and not you shouldn't be out surfing before in between classes or at lunch.
Yeah, I guess Santa Cruz is a little idyllic. I didn't really realize that till I came here. Like, I moved to Pasadena when I was 18, right after high school, and I remember, like, flying in. It was when I came to, like, audition for this acting school with my dad, flying in and looking down over just the miles and miles of shit coming into L.A., just like, just horrible. I mean, from an airplane, it's all smoggy, and it looks terrible.
And it just looks like you're flying over a bunch of gray mouse traps. The sticky traps.
It does.
Just a bunch of boxes. And then every once in a while, there's a clearing. And you
go, a pool.
Or a pool. And you go, I wonder what high school that is. And then you fly over it. And then you fly over Hollywood Park.
Yeah.
And then you land. But you think, Jesus, it is shitty.
Yeah, what the fuck is this place?
Well, the thing about flying into L.A., and, you know, maybe it's intentional. Some of it's got to do with, you know, the poor people and everyone's flying over them. But the flight into L.A., you fly over the shittiest part of L.A. Yeah. It's not like you go, oh, there's where O.J. lived.
Right.
And, oh, there's Aaron Spelling's house.
But if you did fly over those spots, they would be so small that you would barely notice them.
Right.
Because the nice areas of town are not vast like the shitty areas.
Yeah.
Like, it's just miles of, like... of, like, warehouses and...
You're flying over, like, East L.A. Yeah. and Compton and, like, City of Industry.
Yeah.
And Duarte and...
Just goes on forever.
Yeah, you've just... It's all the shittiest parts. And,
right.
And maybe... I like it, by the way, which is... Yeah. Don't get too comfortable, people. It's not all the Rose Parade.
Yeah.
So they fly... Yeah, they fly over there. Now, you're going to go to the Pasadena...
Yeah, I went to this... the American Academy of Dramatic Arts when I was 18. But... Anyway, so moving to Pasadena was a I kind of realized right away that Santa Cruz was kind of this amazing kind of unique
made
place.
You appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, I was glad to leave just because it's such a small place, and I was ready to kind of move to a city. But yeah, it's very different. I mean, a lot of like pot, and I really got to smoke pot, or because everybody kind of smokes pot
in Santa Cruz.
In Santa Cruz, yeah. So I think like by the time I was midway through high school, everyone I knew was a complete stoner.
Yeah,
you know? It's kind of like I don't know. Was it like that here? And
did you well
in the valley?
Well, the way it was
probably it was right.
Well, you're talking to two. I was a jock, and so I didn't really smoke. I mean, what happened?
Were you really?
Yeah. What happened with me is...
Oh, football, right?
Yeah, I played football and baseball, but mainly football. But I smoked pot like a little, like I did the experimental high school,
yeah.
Junior high. Like, do you think, are you high? I think I'm high.
Yeah,
do you think you're high?
Sure.
I think we're high. Are you high? There was that. My mom had a pot plant in her backyard. I showed my friend Hamid, and it was gone the next day, by the way.
So he just stole.
There was just a hole there where it got pulled out of its root. I'm guessing it was my old buddy Hamid, who I think's in jail now
for doing that to someone else.
I'm sure much worse than many more. But yeah, he was a troublemaker. So I smoked pot early, and then later on, I sort of became a jock. And then I was like, oh, I guess jocks don't get high.
Sure.
So I was just pretty much in the weight room and playing football and all stuff.
Right,
I wasn't a dicky jock. I wasn't judgmental. But then later on, when I got out of high school, Donnie, I'd say me and you, when we were living in our apartment in North Hollywood, that was probably my pottiest phase.
Yeah, I'd say.
Oh, wait, were you guys talking about this place the other day with... someone on the podcast? It was hilarious.
We had a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood.
Yeah, it sounds fucking disgusting.
It is. Donnie and I were the first guys to move out. So there's a couple things that happen. When you're the first guy in your group to get a car, then guess who's driving?
Oh, yeah. Sucks.
And when you're the first guy in your group to get an apartment, guess who's going to be fucking in your living room?
Right.
Every single guy who has a girlfriend and doesn't have his own pad.
Right.
So
I could never believe that girls would do that stuff. Like when I was in my early 20s, could you believe that girls would actually do that? Like they would go and have sex with someone in the living room while the place was filled with other dudes. Like,
well,
girls would actually do that stuff.
Yeah. Well, we kept the low profile. Donnie and my head would come around the hall. Like it was out of a cartoon. Donnie's, about 3 foot off the ground, me about 4 foot off the ground. Yeah. And it would come around because we'd hear our third roommate getting it on. God knows what he'd drag in on any given Saturday
that's
night.
Awesome.
But our apartment became the official pot smoking and girlfriend banging headquarters for the Valley because we were the first guys.
It was like 7-Eleven. It was like open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
People would just swing by with chicks
any day
and pot
any night.
And
they'd all be sleeping and people would just come.
There'd also be
amazing.
There was a couple things. There'd be we were living with our buddy Chris who got laid.
Well, that's
nonstop.
The action really
and
started.
So you'd hear. You'd literally, it'd be Saturday night at 4:30 in the morning, and you just hear somebody going down Laurel Canyon, Chris, I love you! And then peel
really?
Out. Oh, yeah. All the time. There'd be that person. Then there'd be our jackass friends who would, Donnie had a bong that was 4 foot tall and the base was an inch and a half wide. Like, this notion that you're going to take this cane and fill it with bong water and put it on the super nappy carpet and have everyone get baked out of their minds and drunk out of minds. And this thing that's as thin as a cane will never fall over.
Will never get broken.
Bongs should be wider than they are tall.
Yes.
Not well, it's a foot for every centimeter the base is.
Right.
It should be the other way around. Right.
Listen, did you make it yourself, Donnie? Was it?
No, it was a regular head shop kind of bong. But,
but how many times did it get knocked
the defense
over?
Of everybody else, it was Dan who knocked the damn thing over repeatedly.
Did it shatter ever?
No, it would just spill bong water over the
right in the middle of the living room, and it would reek of just.
But wait, why are bongs? Why do people want bongs to be a giant thing in the room? It doesn't get you more high.
But
if
when
it's
you're
bigger.
21, though,
I know. But still, even when I was 21, I was like, you can take that down a little bit. You don't need.
Well, first off. Who wants something you need to hide from the cops or your stepdad to be the size of a Winnebago?
Right, you can't shove that up your ass.
Yeah, you want something you can palm or keister, no problem. No,
throw in a cabinet or something.
Geez, yeah, let me get a hand truck and a cherry picker and a flatbed so we can move the. Right. My stepdad's coming.
Right, oh, it's not going to fit into the closet. It's actually too big.
Who wants that?
No.
So I don't understand.
Well, I did back then.
No, my buddy Doug had a bong that he made out of PVC pipe that was like the Ricola.
Doug Benson?
No, although we'll talk. I'm sure he had one that was bigger. This guy had one that looked like it was from the Ricola commercial. Like the guy's like blowing it up like out the Matterhorn. Like it literally, it was a two manner. Like it was like, hey, I'm gonna man the business end of the bong. Doug, can you hear me? I can't see you.
Right.
Go down to that end of the bong and light the bong.
That is fucking ridiculous.
This bong, so we had a bong that would get knocked over all the time.
And that bong water stinks. It's
there's
terrible...
no, it is, it's right up there with cat piss. As a matter of fact, if a cat would piss in a bong, that would be the most pungent. Like if you're looking for things that you can't get out of a carpet that soak into the padding underneath it.
Yeah.
Cat piss and bong water are the
and you could burn some hair and let the smoke seep into the carpet. As well.
Right.
I wonder what was worse for Jim, the landlord, either us spilling the bong and the rabbits and the cats and everything, or the indoor waterfall before we moved in.
Well, a guy did have an indoor waterfall that was
that was
there.
Already in there.
Yeah, ran across the living
horrible.
Room.
Yeah, but he changed the carpet when we moved in.
Because of the waterfall.
And I remember giving him the speech of, listen, we're just hardworking young guys here.
Yeah, sure.
You know, my motto is early to bed, early to rise.
And you probably believed it telling him that.
I did not know what it was going to turn into. And at a certain point, Donnie just said, fuck it, I'm going home. Like, Donnie couldn't take the debauchery.
Really? You actually moved out, kind of? You just went to your parents' house?
You couldn't sleep. You couldn't, like, if you tried to set goals for yourself for the week,
no way.
You'd get sidetracked every single time.
I think what sent Donnie over the edge is when we had a whole bunch of, like, bootleg Quaaludes and our friend, like, OD'd on them. And Donnie grabbed the sack of Quaaludes, and he said, I'm flushing them down the toilet. And I tackled him. Like, I blocked him from the bathroom. Like, Donnie, some of us still want to get high responsibly. We're not all on a suicide mission here. And then Donnie ran outside and started burying them in the lawn.
Burying Quaaludes in the lawn.
I started jumping and stepping on him and crushing him. And
did
Adam
your friend,
was freaking out.
Did your friend die from OD?
No, but he was high for a week.
Yeah.
And I'm not lying. He was high for a week.
I've never had a Quaalude. What's a Quaalude do? Does it just make you... Is it what the girl and Billy Jack took before scenes?
It's like drinking a six-pack but not feeling drunk and...
That
sounds really fun.
Think if a guy was. Think of like NyQuil.
Yeah.
But if a really badass chemist from the Bay Area came up with it, like a heavyweight, you know what I mean? Like,
all right,
I'm going to make NyQuil but times 20, you know? Right. And these weren't even real Quaaludes. They were like bootleg fake
like
knockoffs, like shitty knock. I don't even know what was
like maybe even over the counter a little bit.
Who even knew? I didn't even know what was in these things. All I knew is
bootleg biker Quaaludes or something.
It was like Donnie's throwing away perfectly.
That sounds very untrustworthy.
We didn't give a shit. But I was like, Donnie, you're not going to throw away perfectly good drugs on my watch.
Yeah.
Well, and, yeah, I did.
So I was probably, The my pottiest phase was probably living in that apartment, right, Donnie?
Yeah. After that, you slowed down with the weed.
And I never. Yeah. I quickly
occasionally hit here. Or there,
I quickly learned that pot slowed things down too much.
Yeah.
And since my life was miserable.
Yeah.
Like here was my life. I was either working construction with a bunch of racist assholes or Mexicans or whoever, and a bunch of idiots, and I didn't want that slowed down, or I was sitting in my apartment with no air conditioning in North Hollywood, sweltering, you know, eating top ramen and kicking fat chicks out that my friends have been banging. Yeah. So I didn't want anything to slow down.
Well, and, not only does it slow it down, but it makes you sit and analyze what's happening around you. At least that's what it does to me. And if I was, you know, for the first, you know, 7 years I was out here, if I was just sitting in my apartment, not working with no air conditioning, if I got stoned, all I would do is sit there and think about how horrible this is, and it would make everything way worse.
Yeah, I know. Pot's good when things are good.
When things are going well.
I completely agree, but you don't want to sit around and think about your horrible life when you're stoned.
Really.
And I made the mistake of getting stoned at work once at like 6:45 in the morning and hanging drywall. And I just remember thinking, oh, when is lunch?
You're staring down the barrel of 8 hours of this.
Oh, I'm so miserable. Plus, we drywalled over every light socket. An outlet in the room, which was funny. So, Adam, you come out here. You're going to go to the Pasadena Performance Academy, and you graduate?
I graduated in 93 and then moved to Hollywood. Like, I didn't know anyone. I don't, you know, if this happened now, there's no way I would do any
of this. Have been a good actor in high school, though, right?
I was, but, you know, everybody's a good actor in high school. I mean, I always thought I was, and I was pretty cocky. Otherwise, I wouldn't have moved to L.A. and
tried to audition for the Academy, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, come on. I mean, at least that first year, at least when I went there, like, I got there, and I was like, wow, I can't believe I got into this school. This is amazing, and everyone at high school and my whole family was all really proud of me. It was, like, a huge deal, and then I get there, and the first day of school, you see everyone, like, do a scene or a monologue or something. Everyone in the class.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, man, these people are terrible.
That clip from 2009, Adam Scott hanging out with Adam Carolla. When it was just the Adam Carolla podcast. A little one-on-one action.
Adam Scott's hilarious.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I love all the roles he plays. He picks good roles. Or he makes them good. That should probably be it.
I think that's probably part of it.
Yeah. All right, before we get going with our next clip, I want to remind you about Tommy John, all right? Look, I've talked about this before. Scrotal distancing. It's when you're struggling to separate the guys from your thighs, it's time for Tommy John's hammock pouch underwear. All right, when you're wearing Tommy John's hammock pouch underwear, you're that much more comfortable, so you can do everything better. And that's why Tommy John doesn't just have customers. They have fanatics, and they actually have a super fanatic, and his name is Super Fanatic Geo.
I can't contain it. I love Tommy John. I love their lounge pants. I love their underwear. I'll buy it for my mom. I'll buy it for my dad. It ain't weird. Gina Grad's hooked on it. She wears them while goat walking, whatever that is. If you're going to go goat hiking, make sure to get some Tommy John lounge pants.
Yeah, from everything, from A to goat hiking. Make sure you're doing it in some Tommy John underwear or loungewear. They have.
I'm so jealous Gina wore them outside.
Oh, yeah. They're really great outside. I can tell you that from personal experience as well. And they have over 13 million pairs sold. So, look, people across America love Tommy John. It's right there. And we got a great deal for you. Gio has it. What do we got?
And right now, you get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/classics. That's 20% off your first order of underwear and loungewear at TommyJohn.com/classics. TommyJohn.com/classics. See site for details.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's get going with our next clip. This is also from 2009, and we have Adam's OG news girl, Teresa Strasser, along with Brian Bishop, hanging out on the Adam Carolla podcast.
It's Adam Carolla Show, episode 68. Teresa and Brian are back in studio. They recorded this one at the end of May. It didn't air, actually, till deep June. This is part one. We'll play part two tomorrow in the Carolla Classics feed. Make sure you're subscribed so you can hear all of our Sunday episodes. In this first half, they talked to Brian about his health and then also his upcoming marriage. He wasn't even married yet. It's crazy. And then they get into a little bit of Teresa's news. And then in part two, we get a caller and some more news. Until then, check out this awesome chunk of Adam Carolla Show 68.
Welcome back to the podcast, Bald Brian and Teresa Strasser. How's everyone feeling?
We are getting on.
We're getting it on. We have no choice.
Brian, you had your treatment today?
I had treatment today. I am in week 6 out of 6. This is the final week of treatment.
You had the radiation today?
Yes, correct.
You stopped the chemo?
No, the chemo goes till the end of the week, and the radiation and chemo run simultaneously.
And is it radiation every day?
Yep, I do radiation 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, at the same time, 11 a.m., and chemo every night, 7 days a week. I do that same time every night.
How do you feel?
I feel, it's funny, this is the worst I felt symptom-wise, you know what I mean? Like, I stumble around a lot, and I get dizzy, and I feel like, Teresa mentioned I'm speaking better, I feel like I stutter my words worse than I do, but psychologically, I'm excited for the end of treatment, and I feel really good about being done soon. And so, you know, mentally, I'm really buoyed, you know, really emotionally buoyed by the fact that I'll be done soon, and I got my wedding in a couple weeks, and this is exciting.
Yeah, your speech sounds fine.
To me, you sound better than last week.
Yes, I think your walking is worse than it was last week. You seem a little more deliberate. If you saw Brian walking, as sort of a older guy who just took a shit.
Sure.
Yeah, or maybe like Carl in the movie Up.
Right. Ironically, yes. I have been constipation problems too.
So. Oh, really?
you and me both.
That was a major side effect.
It is of radiation.
Yep. Of chemo.
Of chemo.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what I did?
Tell me. Teresa, I would like to know what you did, actually.
We have some similar symptoms.
I would like to know very badly what you did.
Because this is so gross. Because remember when I had the hemorrhoid originally? Because the constipation leads to the hemorrhoid, and that's what you want to avoid.
Yeah, you want to avoid that.
Kiwis are good, and then the high-fiber cereal every day. And
really?
Yeah, in like 2 weeks, I kicked
They've got it. Me on a they had me on one laxative, then a second one, then a third one. And the third one, the doctor said, this is supposed to be explosive, and I'm waiting for that. That would be nice.
Explosive.
It would be nice.
Well, how many
days
did you put together?
God, it's about. I'm working on once every 3 days, but the once it's a misleading fact because the once you go every 3 days is not satisfying.
Not satisfying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I talked to Dr. Drew about this once, and I have a couple theories about Dr. Drew. One is I know he has venereal warts because he always told me. Well, here's what I know about Dr. Drew. He shits once a month and he's covered with venereal warts because he's told me many times, like, everyone has venereal warts. Right. Anyone living in an urban center has it. Everyone. Like,
the person who hits that too hard has.
He just kept hitting
hard.
How everyone had it, number one. And then number two, I've always told him I am as regular as anybody can be. I mean, I'm good for 3 constitutions a day, like clockwork. And he's like, that doesn't make you any healthier than someone that goes 3 times a week.
Sure.
And I've said, I always heard that if you're really regular that way, that was a healthy thing. And he said, no. That's just your schedule. That's your ass schedule.
Healthy, maybe. Happy, yes.
But, yeah. But no different. The 3 times a week versus 3 times a day, according to Drew, who I now know does 3 times or less a week.
Well, it's hard to get that poop out with those
when you're shedding all
warts.
That virus.
Yes. When you've got viral shedding going on every goddamn day.
Yeah. Who shed all the virus on the toilet seat?
It wasn't me. I don't go in there because I don't poop.
Yeah, so even if it's every few days, I don't think it's bad for you.
Right.
I think at some point we got caught up into this sort of you had to clean yourself out constantly. And, you know, it makes sense. You know, walking around like a pinata stuffed with shit doesn't seem like a good way to go, but evidently it doesn't make any difference.
You know yourself, so you know your own routine. So once it gets changed, you're like, oh, this isn't right. You know, I'm off my schedule. And plus, I'm eating the same as I was, if not more, beforehand. So I'm like, you know, I should be processing things faster, and it's not happening.
Yeah, it's not a good feel. It's that bloaty feeling. It's not good.
But along with my symptoms, I look at it as like, well, there's something that'll clear up in a week or two. You know, it'll start to clear up in a week or two.
Well, I don't want to drive the ass talk into the ground, but I always wondered how the suppository worked.
Me too.
It seems like I can't shit, so I'm going to shove a cork up my ass? Like, what? I mean, I understand the part where you drink some Metamucil, but you packing some wadding up your ass when you can't take a shit already doesn't seem like a great strategy.
Yeah, more up there, not a solution.
My daughter could do that. And kids really get upset. And, you know, it's funny because you find them, they're somewhere between hitting the toilet and kind of knowing it's wrong, or, you know, they're wearing like their pull-ups or something, but they go stand behind things. They sort of hide a little, and they stand behind like bar stools and stuff, and they sort of hide behind things, and then they look upset, and you're going, like, what are you doing just standing there sort of gritting your teeth? And it's like, she's trying to take a shit, and she can't take a shit. So then you start trying to, you know, you have to treat them like dogs. Like, you have to start working shit into their bottle and start working stuff in. But eventually the suppository was attempted.
Oh, boy.
And it was said to have popped out again. Then Molly ate it. So no, Molly didn't eat it. But the thing is, I was saying is, well, don't they have laxatives for kids?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, the doctor says if you drink some prune juice. And I said, no. I mean like a pill that you give to a kid. And she's like, well, if you eat some Metamucil. No, I mean drugs for a kid. Yeah. Just break one in half or something.
I would love
Doesn't
that.
Flintstones make something?
Yeah. Shitstones.
Shitstones?
Whatever.
That's what I'm doing these days.
That is the worst feeling.
So you get the constipation seems to be what you get whenever your schedule's thrown off. Like whenever you throw a curveball at your colon, it just goes, you know what? Yeah, I don't know if this is chemo. I don't know if it's pregnancy. I don't know if it's turbulence or travel. But you know what? I'm not going to shit for a couple
days. Your colon cannot hit the curve. Your colon cannot hit junk.
Right.
It only takes a fastball.
Off the hitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to have a fat guy with a bucket of balls just
right
throwing them right down the pipe like it's the all-star home run competition. But he doesn't – the colon can't hit the junk.
Right.
Nope.
And every time you try to serve up a breaking ball or curve ball to the colon's like, you know what? I'm just going to hang on to I'm putting the bat on my shoulder. I'm going to sit back in the box.
I'm going to wait for a nice, juicy fastball right in my strike zone. That's all I swing at.
Oh, sounds good right now.
Yeah.
But you're still hungry. You still have an appetite.
Yeah, strangely, I do. The doctors, when I check in with the doctors, they ask me about that. Are they eating normal? I'm like, yeah, I'm eating more than, God, I'm getting fat these days because I'm in the gym. And since this whole thing started, you know, 2 months, month and a half where I've been. And eating normally.
You can't. I mean, obviously, you can't run on a treadmill. Right. You could fall off and do some real damage. Right. But is there something you can do, you know, something in a pool?
The bike.
The bike.
The bike is the best thing for me. I'm going to get back on the bike next week. It's a weird thing. I can't articulate it well without sounding like a puss, but chemo and radiation really saps your motivation. I mean, I want to go to the gym. I know it's good for me. I'm sorry.
You can't handle a little brain cancer?
What's
wrong with you?
I know.
Christy, you're going to marry this guy?
I say to myself, I want to go to the gym. I'd like to get myself back to the gym. But then think about it. I don't want to do it.
You look yourself in the eye.
I don't. I can't. I have blurry vision.
You're only doing chemo and radiation. It's not like there's a third treatment you're undergoing.
That's right.
You know? Wow. Jeez.
Maybe when I get the gamma knife, I'll look into go back to the gym.
Well, I got thrown out of yoga the other day. I guess I'm now too big
for gassy?
Yoga. No, I am a little gassy, to be honest with you. This is disgusting. But I went to yoga because exercise is good for you when you're pregnant. It's good, really good for the baby. And it was not prenatal yoga, but they didn't have that available at that time. So I went, and I knew it wasn't going well because my balance isn't so good. There's an extra 33 pounds right here in my middle. And then after class, the yoga teacher, who was a guy, and he was not happy to have me in his class.
Wow. Gay guy?
He was straight. If he was gay, he would have been nicer to me.
Whoa.
He went, and like he kept making pronouncements like, if you're expecting, don't do this pose. Don't do that. Yeah, I know.
Do you love
shit.
The generalized announcements that are
right
for you?
Yeah, I'm like standing there all giant. And then
if
after
your name's
class,
Teresa.
Strasser, Lynn Strasser.
You know what it's like? It's like that really uncomfortable thing. You know when you're flying and there's 250 people on the airplane, and they're starting to taxi, and there's the one person that's two seats in front of you, and they're standing up, and they're going, the plane is taxiing. Everybody needs to be in their seats with their belt buckles securely fastened. And you're looking around, and you know everyone is buckled in except for this one guy. But they won't say, hey, you in the striped shirt. So there's this constant berating that everybody's getting. And I feel like, I know you don't want to single the guy out, but when you don't fucking single the guy out, then all of us who are sitting here with our seats in the upright position who are buckled in are being berated by your condescending bitch ass, you
know?
Clearly,
the generalized announcements haven't affected him and will not.
Evidently, yes, your scattershot, buckshot, shotgun approach to the general, hey, if you're anywhere near an airplane and you can get around to it, perhaps. How about, hey, members only jacket, you with the bad rug. How about you sit your fat ass down and buckle up so we can shove the fuck off?
You can't be talking to me. I have a good rug.
The only corrections in this hour were to me. The only corrections. Right. And he should have just gone, you in the lavender shirt. You look like a fucking grape. You, the fucking fat, huge, pregnant one. Knock it off. You shouldn't be here. But at the end of class, he goes, so how far along are you? And I said, oh, almost 6 months. And then Christ. He said, this should probably be your last yoga class. Namaste.
Gets too intense. Wow. Apparently.
Good day.
I think in general you owe the person you're talking to this specific direction, and you owe it to everyone else in either the airplane or the yoga class as well. So you don't have to constantly get that just broad,
right.
People, we need
your attention,
to.
Please.
You need to.
This would be a good and time to sit down.
On the airplane, you always know they're talking to the one person that's struggling with their luggage, but it doesn't.
To be fair, this guy might have not been sure I'm pregnant.
What?
And then he might have just thought I was mad. So he didn't. So it was like, if you're expecting, you don't want to do twisting poses.
Yeah.
All
you
right.
You got a prenatal massage.
Yeah, which is basically like a massage, and they just throw you down on a pillow with a hole in the pillow.
Nice.
The hole in the pillow is sort of like the same equivalent to the hole in your face.
It's
just
like
face hole.
That, only it's a little, it's more like memory foam.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty nice. It's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's a little, I feel good. I feel much better than last week.
What do they charge? Okay. Like, you know, at the car wash, they'll charge extra for vans.
Right.
Because it's just, they're big.
I'm like an SUV.
I'm just saying, you're no Mini Cooper.
Right.
I'm just saying, if it's $110 for a straight massage,
yeah,
that's for 105-pound Asian chicks, $110, this RV comes pulling in.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? I mean, 150.
Put it on the rack.
They hand me the receipt, and then they go,
oh, sorry.
We're going to have to double
sorry.
That.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's $150. For normal size pregnant girls?
That would be an awesome thing to try to pull off.
They do that if you have long hair. They charge you more to blow dry.
Massage by the pound.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, but we also live in a society where, and this is all you need to know about our society, there's only extras. They never take away anything. Right. So if you drive a Taurus, it's $10 at the car wash. But if you drive a full-size van, it's $16. But what about the guy who drives the Mini Cooper?
Right.
That's smaller than the Taurus.
Right.
That should be $7.
What about dry cleaning, clothes, if you wear a size 2?
Right. So if they charge, if they're charging, you know, you extra at the salon to blow dry the hair,
right.
Then Susan Powder, I'm trying to think.
If only there's someone with no hair nearby.
No,
wait, time
no.
reference, but Susan Powell
no,
works.
No, I was thinking, well, she wouldn't get anything blow-dry. Think Kurt Warner's wife before she got the extensions.
Yeah, somebody
the
with a bob.
Quarterbacks, she had like a fade or something,
right.
But they should charge less, but they never do. They charge more.
Cheryl Swoops.
Yeah, Cheryl Swoops. They charge more for the more, but never less. The same math never applies.
I gotcha. Speaking of the car wash, back I used to take my truck to the car wash, and when I did, they would try to charge me an extra buck because it was larger than a regular car. I tried to talk them down because there's less to wash. Like, there's no back seat, there's no back windows. Just get the bed,
right.
The bed to go.
You said talk them down?
I want to correct you, but
there's
one thing next to us.
She accepts it. She knows where she
I know
from.
What.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank God.
She's got a little bagel in the oven.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I'm yeah. making a little bagel.
People, could we please fast? We can't push off until everybody is seated. The thing that's, there's nothing worse than if you're sitting up in the front of the plane and that person is literally standing in front of you. We can't put, and you're like, you almost want to shield yourself. You want to like hold your hands up and... Or you just want to grab the mic and go, and somewhere around the third time she gets up and goes, once again, we can't, you just want to grab the mic and go, look, sit the fuck down and buckle up, whoever the fuck it is back there.
Don't make her sing.
Yes.
Speaking of airplanes, I was watching the movie Airplane the other night, and there was, we've come a long way in terms of baggage security. Like the bag above the seats were just, there was no latch, there was no door, it was just open, like a bus. And that was like in 1980, and nowadays everything's got to be latched. You can't take off unless it's latched. We had a guy on our flight about a month ago actually have to change out the like the door on one of the baggage areas. Like change it out with like a screwdriver.
The whole door.
Yep, the
Not
whole thing,
the
whole flap.
How long did that set you guys
back? He had done it before, so he was in and out of there in about 8 minutes.
But they had to call for maintenance,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah, maintenance guy.
Well, I've said this story on the air, so you guys know it, but... I don't believe I've ever said it on the podcast, which is one of my life could be just summed up in this. Like when I'm eulogized, all you'd need to do is you wouldn't need to say any kind words. You just you want an idea of what Adam's life was like. Here, just watch this. Watch this small clip, and this would be it.
It would be this life in rage.
flying home from Florida, flying back to L.A., sitting in first class. And one of those baggage things, and they have the door with the pneumatic opener. So if it doesn't latch,
it flies open.
It just starts to pop open again. So it won't stay down. So here we are, and we're sitting there, and it just won't latch. The thing won't latch. But they ended up cleared everything out of it. So it was just completely empty. It's open, but it's empty. So I do the, all right. Let's push off. And they're like, sir, we can't until all the baggage ones are shut. And this is really where our society takes a turn. And this is where we start heading toward hell in a handbasket.
Letter of the law, not spirit of the law.
Right. Okay. We stop being able to think for ourselves. And I said, well, it needs to be shut and latched so that luggage or personal belongings don't land on anyone's head during turbulence. But if there's nothing in it, what could possibly happen? A chunk of air falls out of the thing? No. And so we sat there and they called maintenance and I'd had a couple of drinks, but I just kept saying, seriously,
the gas sound comes in.
Seriously, we're not going to take off because there's nothing in here. And yet, sir, we can't take off unless they're all shut and latched. I said, well, look, how about this? How about someone just get a piece of duct tape and just fucking hold, just shut it and put a piece of duct tape on it? Because there's nothing in it. So physically, we have to have this thing. And by the way, is the wing warped or something, or is it just a fucking open baggage thing? Sir, back and forth, you know, maintenance, they're backed up, they're 10 hangers over, the guy's got to drive the Cushman out there, he's got the wrong screwdriver, he's going back and forth. So somewhere around the 15th time, we're sitting there for an hour, I said, literally, somebody just put a piece of duct tape on this thing so we could fucking push off and get out of here. Sir, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And by the way, when does the only right... How come, as the only sensible, right-thinking person on the plane, I turn into the number one asshole on the plane?
Maybe
you know what I'm saying?
Might have been the delivery style.
Delivery started off...
Tone?
Tonally, it started off as a helpful FYI.
Right,
sure.
Yeah.
And inquisitive.
Right.
Gee, But wouldn't that be just if there was luggage in there? I mean, if there's nothing in there, obviously there's nothing to fall out. Perhaps we could just push off because I have someone picking me up at fucking LAX in 4.5 goddamn hours. So I was like, no, sir, you know, sir. And then eventually, an hour and a half later, out comes the duct tape.
There you go.
Okay.
And they just put a piece of fucking duct tape on it, pushed it.
Mouth.
And I gave the, hello, hello. All I want is a fucking apology and a blowjob. That's all I want. That's all I want is, you know what, you're right. Instead of, now I get the stink eye. I get the stink eye as the troublemaker. But by the way, I got one stink eye, you know, before the duct tape came out. I was a troublemaker. Now that I'm a troublemaker and right, now I'm really fucked.
Right. Right. Now I have to completely avoid
it. Now I'm going to be punished.
Usually it goes BJ, then apology.
Right. Yeah. Right. But that's about it. That's about what our society's turned into, right? Nothing inside the fucking compartment, but yet cannot travel with it open.
Well, there's protocol, and that trumps common sense.
Right. Right. And it's not like once the plane gets in flight, you're not allowed to open the thing. You can get up when the plane's in flight and open the thing up and do all you want and leave it open for 10 minutes while you rummage around for whatever your overcoat or whatever it is. There's no danger in opening. No one hits their head on it. It's open. It's against the fucking ceiling. Oh, we have lost our ability to just use common sense and reason. Yeah. And, you know, and everyone just passes the buck. Like, oh, I'd like to do it, but I could, you know, and the pilot would like to do it, but he could. But everyone would like to, but we have rules.
That clip from 2009 featuring Teresa Strasser and Bachelor Brian Bishop.
It's so weird, man, because his wife, pardon my crumbs, on Instagram, she just posted a picture of their daughter, like, buttoning up Brian's shirt, and it's, like, the sweetest picture you've ever seen in your entire life. And then 12 years ago, Brian didn't know what was going to be in store for him. He wasn't even married yet. Now, you know, married, has a kid, tumors in check for a time being, at least. It's amazing.
Yeah, that just goes to show how much has changed in everyone's lives since the beginning of the podcast. It's crazy.
And all the different ways it could have unfolded and didn't. It's just, it's bizarre.
It's quite beautiful, actually.
Agreed.
All right. Well, while we're talking about Instagram accounts, let's plug ours. And if anybody wants to request a clip, it's easy. Just find us on Instagram at Giovanni Giorgio or at Chris Loxamana 1. You can also
send
us the number one. You can also send us an email, classics@adamcarolla.com. And also, while we're plugging away, I got some shows that I'm playing. If you're in Southern California, I'm playing at Marina Wine Friday, May 14th, and Saturday, May 15th, as well as Friday, May 28th, and Saturday, May 29th. Also, I'm playing at Tantalum in Long Beach with the band Loxy Wednesday, May 26th. They're each like 3-hour sets, so just come during the night, and I'm sure you'll see me. I promise it will be finger popping. All right, let's get going with our next clip.
Did you ask Adam for the time off?
How dare you? I told him. I informed him.
Yeah, he let us know on there.
I'm aware. I listen to every time I miss a show, I listen to it. I heard it. I yelled at my speakers. Don't worry. It doesn't always go exactly how he says it does.
She revealed that she had to ask for time for Street Fighter. It's like, oh no! Like, he would never have said no, but it's like, you can't keep her from being in Street Fighter.
Yeah. Well, here's my defense, Gio. So, a little over a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, when I kind of took over the producing of the show, I kind of changed things around, and I told Adam that Matt Fondelier and myself have become HR, and we've become, if anybody needs time off, rather than having to bother Adam, they can just come to me and Matt, because we kind of know what's going on, if we need that person there or not for sure.
Yeah.
And we can give the time off that way. So we've been doing that, and I've been doing that with the other staff members. They come to me and they come to Matt. And then when we agree that, okay, you can have that time off, no problem, or make up for it here or whatever, we handle it all. But then when I need time off, it gets approved by me and Matt. But yet, Adam needs something to complain about. So there you go.
Human resources lets human resources know when they can go.
Yeah, exactly. Look, it's still fair. It's like we have a system. It's just, of course, we got to create content out of it.
Hilarious.
Now, this next clip holds a special place in my heart because it's one of the very first podcasts that I was a part of. I did the sound for this show. It might have been the very first podcast I did sound for solo, and that was when Olivia Munn came in April of 2010.
Sound actually isn't bad on this one, which is kind of interesting. It's Adam Carolla Show 304, still on the 1-on-1 format. Olivia Munn in studio. This is from April of 2010, as Chris said. Adam and Olivia go over on the juice boxes filled with booze for adults and dating. It's a pretty fun clip. Check it out.
I have that thing where I would never spend $50 for myself to watch something, but only recently with a little bit more money, I started getting more shoes and purses. And then I watch pay-per-view in the hotels that I'm in. Like, if I'm there and I'll watch four movies, and like, if I don't like it, I'll move on. Like, I feel like very glamorous. I do that. Like, I'm just throwing money.
That's like $60.
Yeah, that's a lot of, I mean, it's like $10-$15 a movie.
Yeah.
So I do that.
I never do that. And I'm always scared to get stuff out of the mini bar.
Oh, I won't do the mini bar. I just think it's ridiculous. I don't mind paying for things. I just don't like somebody
gouging you.
Yes, it's the and you know what I hate? Oh, I can't stand this. When you do room service and they come and there's two different fees. There's the charge for the guy who there's the service charge and then there's a cleanup charge.
Yeah.
So they already tip themselves and then they put on an extra amount to come and clean it out and then they have an extra line for you to insert and then you feel like a douche if I'm like.
Yeah.
So then you have to do the question, which is, so did you already tip?
Included?
And then they go, oh, no, but that's where you can add more. Why would I want to give you, because you already gave yourself $25 to come up here.
Well, here's, okay, thank you. Now I'm pissed because a couple things. You've already paid $16.95 for a club sandwich. Mm-hmm. So the gouging has already begun, number one. Number two, it's called a fucking gratuity. It should be optional based on, and look, we're all decent folks and we're affluent enough to stay in a decent hotel, so there's a very good chance you're going to get a nice tip. But please, let that be our idea. And by the way, it takes away from the spirit of it when you make it mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of saying, here's $10, you seem like a nice kid, rather than you've already removed 18% from the whatever.
Yeah.
It's a gratuity, and I'm sure if you looked up the word gratuity, in some place, option would come in there. When they charge 18% and that's tacked onto it, that's called a tax or a tariff.
Yes.
It's not a gratuity. It's not a tip. It's just a tax. The 9% that the city gets is not an optional gratuity. It's a tax. This is now a tax. Your sandwich costs $16. Plus 18% gratuity, plus 9.5% sales tax, has nothing to do with the way you feel.
No.
I had a friend of mine tell me just today, just an hour ago, he went out and ate at a restaurant the other night with like four other couples. So there was eight people sitting at the table. And because everyone is poor, and I'm guessing cheap, they all just got their own bill, which I didn't want to pass judgment on because I was poor my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated that thing where I went out to the restaurant, had the dinner salad and then the iced tea, and the asshole next to me had 9 Heinekens and the surf and turf. And then they do that. Well, let's see, $500 split up 6 ways. So it gets about $90 a person. You're like, dude, you had 9 Heinekens and I had an iced tea. You should be kicking in more than me. But when I was poor, that's the way I thought. So everyone got their own bill.
Does that bother you?
No. Everything bothers me. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is because it was a group larger than 6, they tacked on the mandatory gratuity, even though everyone had their own bill. So it was like 4 couples all sitting next to each other at separate tables getting their own bill, but it was a group of more than 6. So they fucking did that tack-on thing. And by the way, shouldn't that be legal?
And then the other thing is when they do that tack-on thing with 6 or more parties, I think, you know what? Actually, I'd probably maybe give you more. But since you did this and you enforced this, then this is it. Call it a day.
I absolutely agree. And why this absolutely should be legal. Because here's the thing. Like, they do a thing where they go, well, sometimes when you have a big bill that comes to like $5,000 or $6,000 or $1,000 or $800, our people can get stiffed. Well, let's examine that.
Yeah.
Your people, you have a hot 21-year-old actress/model actress, which I refer to as a mattress, who's probably dating some producer, who's got a GED and is pecking away at some degree at junior college. Does that bitch really deserve $65 an hour?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she needs to get paid what an optometrist gets paid. You're fucking 19 and you're hot. You were, you know, Miss Tropicana 2 years ago. How much do you need to average? And okay, so it's a nice restaurant and there's 9 people and they order a couple bottles of wine. And let's say you only get 10%. You're still walking away with $90 for the 2 hours work you spent at this table. You're not reporting it to the government, and you're working on 3 other tables simultaneously. You can't walk out of there with $300 cash? Like, what do you mean you're getting stiffed?
Because nothing is ever enough. Like, yeah. And they get there, and it's the same mentality of people who the same, especially in LA, the some waiters or bartenders or the door people who fucking like go home to a studio apartment that they share with like three other people, but this one fucking moment in their life, they're sitting there judging you and how much you pay and how what you buy and they the worst, I think it's the worst, if you're on a date and you get a bottle and you're like, oh, can we get a bottle or how about or we're looking for a good bottle, and then the waiter goes, well, what price range are you looking at? I mean, I think that's the worst thing to say to a guy. Like, yeah, I'm sitting there right in front of him, and like, what are you gonna, like, the guy's gonna be like,
yeah, $2 chuck.
Moderate to, like, what do you say? Then the guy's gonna fucking gouge you, and then just because it's a $100 bottle,
doesn't mean
it's, yeah, it's that, that.
I always say, bring me your finest box of wine.
I think that, you know what, I think that there's box wine, I said this the other day, box wine, and then we have juice boxes. I would love if there was like, juice box wines, like just like with the straw in the back, we just fucking throw that in there and just walk around sipping
little
that.
Sippy thing.
Oh,
yeah.
That would be great if there was like little small travel boxes of wine.
As a matter of fact, those things are like 6, 7, 8 ounces. Like one of those boxes, probably perfect. You know, one of those boxes is probably like a glass and a half of wine, like a nice wine glass. Plus another spill or two. Not enough to be over the legal limit, but just enough to cop a nice buzz at the mall, at the recital. You know what I mean?
Like,
I mean, well, what I'm saying is you're going to find out one day that you're going to get dragged to a bunch of shit that your kids are doing that you have no real interest in and that they'll never remember.
Why do you do it? Why do you do it? Do you really care?
No, I don't care.
Does it your wife makes you go? Like I,
all right, but yes, here's what it is. Here's what it is. They say your wife will tell you or your partner will tell you it's important to, it'll be important to the kids. But it's not important to the kids because they don't really remember. It's important to the other adults whose kids are at school that you don't look like a derelict dad.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
But then why does it matter what they think of you? Because you know what? Maybe if they thought you were derelict dad, maybe they'd all be nicer to your children. Your children would go up having, like, you know, feeling like everyone loved them.
Like, dad will put a shiv in you because he's drunk off a box of wine.
So maybe people are always, maybe the teachers are always giving him, you know, a little extra, you know, little extra, you know, star on their
It's more, it's really, it's, you evidently seem to be wired like a man, which is always a turn on, especially when you look like a really good woman. So that's what you want. But there's definitely an element of, look, here's what you need to do. And it's kind of this parenting. It's the equivalent of the parsley by the side of the plate. Nobody eats it. Nobody wants it. Mm-hmm. You just put it there. Like, meaning, you don't need to go to this thing, but it's what a good parent would do. You know what I'm saying?
I'm like in this whole other
thing. But the booze box, that would turn me around.
I think that we should, I mean, that's not that hard to make.
No. We already have the boxes and we have the booze.
Uh-huh.
Right?
But we just need to brand it and put it out there.
And
I say we sell it at Costco. Everyone loves Costco.
Well, the thing is the boxes, like I said, those juice boxes, I'm just weighing one in my hand. I'm just kind of looking. I'm picturing emptying one into a wine goblet and I picture it overflowing just a little bit. Like, that'd be a little more than a nice glass of wine.
Which is what you need. You always want a little bit more.
That's all you need is one in your pocket, you know, in case the recital goes along or the graduation goes along. You have that little straw that's pointy on one end with the little accordion thing so you can bend it. People think you're just drinking grape punch. Like, there's no stigma there.
No.
We brand it like when you mail pornography and it shows up at your doorstep. It's not like, hey, look at me.
We'll just have like grapes on the front.
Yeah, grapes. We're not lying.
No.
It's fermented grapes, but it's grapes.
They're grapes, nonetheless.
It's purple.
It's adult juice.
It has grapes on it. Adult juice. And you just sit there. And again, it's a lot like those safes they have that look like cleanser bottles, except for you unscrew
the
bottom.
Rocks.
Yeah, and you put the money in there.
Yeah.
It looks like something else.
So when I go to your house, that's what I'm
right in plain view.
Through all your cleanser bottles.
Yeah, right in plain view. Yeah, so you could just sit there with your little juice, people think it's cute. I'll tell you the problem.
What?
There's a little liability, which is
open container.
No. One of the kids is going to get hold of this thing. You're going to say, go to the fridge or go to the...
Do you consider that a problem or just learning lessons in life?
I don't consider it a problem, but when one of these kids wraps their big wheel around a telephone pole and then sues us because he was loaded. You know what I mean? Because he went for the juice box.
You put where the other your other liquor is. It goes where the other box wines go.
I agree, but at some point it's going to get out.
By that point, we've made our money and we've stashed in some kind of Swiss bank account. And then
it's offshore.
I don't care. If a kid dies in the process of me getting money off my box wine.
So we do what essentially Ford did with the Pinto, which is we know a certain amount of these cars are going to blow up. We know a certain amount of lawsuits are going to come in. But that will be cheaper than retrofitting each and every Pinto with a new gas tank.
You know what that's called? The American dream.
It really is.
My family came here. They were Asian from Vietnam. They came here with one American dream, and I believe it was that.
To make juice boxes and have enough FU money offshore to mitigate whatever legal costs would come with these juice boxes that had booze in them?
It sounds much more beautiful when it's said in Chinese, but yes. Yes, it was something like that.
So how did... Yeah, let's talk. I really love your juice box idea, by the way.
I think that we should do it.
I really do. The grapes thing is easy. And we're over the hump as far as wine in a box. They have it in a big box. Well, Why not a little box?
Like, that's like the funny joke thing when people are like, oh, wine in a box, ha-ha, it's the joke. But I think if it was accessible like that, people would love it.
Yeah,
I would have coolers and backpacks filled with it. Mm. I would start bringing sack lunches.
And dig this. Everybody I know digs the wine. Like, everyone loves the wine. It's just the problem is the wine is bulky. It doesn't travel. Let me give you an example.
Yeah.
I was going, I was out of town. I was in Long Beach. I was going to stay in Long Beach for a couple of nights for this race and some other stuff I had to do. And I was leaving my house, and I thought, you know what? I love my red wine at night before I go to bed. And I know the mini cooler, you know, I'm going to get gouged at the mini bar, and B, they're going to have little bottles of Stoli, which are fine, but I like red wine. So I packed a bottle of red wine. But the bottle of red wine does not fit nicely into the side sleeve of the suitcase.
But you're driving, right?
I'm driving, but I
just put it in a bag.
I had to put it into my bag because I don't want to have break in the car, roll around in the car. Bottles of wine roll around, we throw them. And then when you get to the hotel, you have to make sure you have the bottle opener, the cork opener and all that stuff. But the box of wine
is durable.
Durable. Packs easily, modular, and you could enjoy one on the way out to Long Beach.
And here's the thing is that you have the open container rule. Like, you know, if you have like an open bottle of, you know, wine in your car that you have the cork in already, that's open container. But, you know, in the back of my car, I keep bottles of water. You can just keep little small boxes of, like, you know, adult juice boxes in the back, and then you drink it, and then you're done, and there's no more open container.
And when you go to the restaurant, no corkage fee because there's no cork.
No! Wouldn't that be great?
I do love that idea when restaurants go, we want to gouge you for our wine, but if you do insist on bringing your own wine, we'll gouge you for
I love when you go to those restaurants and they act like they're doing you a favor. Yeah. Like so actually, no, you can bring your own wine. We just have a small corkage fee, but go ahead and bring whatever you want in.
Corkage fee.
And you're like, great. So, but they act like they're like doing you such a fucking favor.
All right. Well, I want to talk about your family and your pilgrimage here to the United States.
My mom was, we're Chinese blood, but she was born and raised in Vietnam, and they came here during the war. Mm-hmm. And then went to Oklahoma because they knew one man from Oklahoma as like a missionary.
So they cleaned out of Vietnam in the later 60s, mid-60s?
Early 70s.
So the war had already gotten underway.
Yeah, they're in it.
They were in it.
My grandfather had a bricklaying business. They had a lot of money. He had a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And they would, like, hide their gold, like, bury it in the backyard. And then when the communists came through, because they were Chinese blood and because he had a lot of money, he was able to pay basically gave them everything. And so my mother, my grandmother and her 9 children, my mom was one of the 9, came to, boat to the Philippines and then flew to Oklahoma where they knew one man. Mm-hmm. And then my grandfather died before he could come over. Mm-hmm. And then they all stayed in one little room in Oklahoma. And then went on. Some of them are doctors and engineers and radiologists. And,
wow. Thinking like Saigon versus Oklahoma.
Yeah.
That had to be a culture shock.
Well, it's funny because when my mom was telling stories, like, because they never saw snow, ever. And so they would be going to these schools, and it would be so cold, and the snow was coming down, and they're all driving. They're pretty smart, like, you know, really smart people. But they didn't ever experience this. So my mom was telling me a story about when they were all in the car, all packed in, all like nine children into one small car, and they're driving down the road, and then it would just start to fog up. So my uncle would pull the car over and then wipe it down and get back in and keep driving, and then it fog back up, and he'd pull over and wipe it back down. And he sat there and was thinking, he's like, oh, and then he realized, oh, are you breathing? You stop breathing. Nobody breathe. Nobody breathe. You stop breathing. You do. And he's like hitting it like they're hitters. You know, the Asian side hits a lot. They hit. Nobody breathe. Nobody breathe. They get in the car. They start driving, and then eventually you breathe, and it's like seeping through. And then he pulls over and he starts hitting everybody. Who breathe? Who breathe? You tell me who breathe. You tell me breathe. And everyone's like, I didn't breathe. I didn't breathe. And this guy was falling behind him. Sees that this. Like,
I think if you breathe through your nose, you might be able to get away with it. If you're a mouth breather like the Corollas, you will fog. Up an aquarium, yeah.
But eventually, because it's so cold outside that it started, you know, fogging everything up. So this guy was driving behind them and noticed that they kept pulling over. Said, you know, hey, do you guys need something? He's like, yeah. They keep breathing in the car. I can't see. Fog up. Tell them not to breathe. He's like, oh, no. And he showed him, like, the defrost button.
Sure.
He's like, you just push that.
Thank God there wasn't a debreathe button that your uncle would have hit. Everyone would have died in there.
My family, they're big hitters. They throw. My mom throws things a lot. Like, I grew up getting beat a lot.
Really?
Like, the straight beating, like, you know, like, pulled your hair, thrown against the wall, like. But not, like, in a weird, not in a very, like, an abusive, like, what you see on, like, after school specials. More mm-hmm. like it's just my mom didn't, like, that's just
not,
how
not
Asians
in a precious
take.
Kind of way.
More like, ah, this is stupid. Ah, I hate you. One time she got mad at me and threw, she got mad at me because I yelled too loud in the house when mm-hmm. my stepdad was studying. So she cornered me in a, near the refrigerator in the wall and threw her purse, Gone with the Wind, in the dining room chair at me. And I remember just going, Mom, it's Gone with the Wind. It's really big. It's a really big book.
Oh, she threw the book Gone with the Wind
at me. She was like, anything you see, she's like that. She's the crazy Asian lady that's like, anything. So like, whenever I do something wrong, like I'd always make sure I was like in like a very soft area. Like there's nothing she can throw.
You have to treat the house kind of like they do like on a boat where they just nail everything down to the floor. So it's like she's yelling at you while she's trying to pick up a chair that's been hot glued to the kitchen floor and yelling at you.
I love that.
Wow.
Well, you know, the best thing right now is that my mom, my family couldn't care less. I mean, what I'm doing, y'all think it's cool. When they come out to visit me, I'm like, hey, do you guys want to come to set or mm-hmm. stare at the wall? They're like, oh, we'll stare at the wall. No one cares. Yeah. But now my mom, who doesn't know how to even use speakerphone, mm-hmm. like, I'm like, you're on speakerphone. She's like, okay, you tell them I said hi. I'm like,
right.
They can hear you. Okay, tell them I said hi. I'm like, right. She doesn't know how to use speakerphone, but she's managed Google Alerts and Twitter. And now she'll, like, the other day, like, my last relationship, there was, like, paparazzi, like, in the magazines, and there was rumors.
Your last relationship.
Yeah, and then there was rumors.
Was that with somebody we've heard of?
Maybe. Depends.
Well, if it's all over the internet, you can probably say it, right?
Yeah, I could probably say it. So,
now I got to have one of my guys go to the internet, like, pull the person's name, and then I got to spit it back to you. It's such a time consumer.
It is a time. Well, I was dating Chris Pine from Star Trek. That's how.
Oh, the guy from Star Trek, which I heard was really good, and I never saw it.
It was a really great movie, and he was really good in it. But there was like my mom all of a sudden is like in all the magazines and online, and she never gave a shit about anything, and now.
So she was like, all of a sudden she's following you.
All of a sudden she's like she'll like say things like one day there was rumors that there was like a breakup and it was like this weird thing, and then she emails me and says. And then we were seen out together, and then so she's following this whole thing, and then I get an email after like it was like, oh, they're still together, this weird kind of like soap opera they've created, and my mom emails me, hey, and she speaks in an accent and writes in an accent too, so she's mm-hmm. like, hey, it's Mom, I read online you and he break up, you can tell me, I promise I won't tell anyone, I like him, love Mom. I'm like, okay, first of all, Mom, stop reading online shit. Second of all, do you have to say, I won't tell anyone? Because that implies, the implication is that you do tell everyone if you don't say that. So,
right.
Like,
hey, if it was your brother I don't love as much, I would definitely blab. But you, yeah, it is weird. I always found it weird about the third time somebody, whether it's a family member or a guy who sells used RV, says, I wouldn't lie to you. I'm not lying.
Yeah.
Okay, can I be honest with you? It's like, I wasn't assuming you were lying, but now, you've said nine times, I wouldn't shit you, and can I be honest with you, and I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm not going to lie to you. So now I'm starting to think maybe either you are lying or you do tend to lie a lot, and this is one of the times you're not lying.
And then I think, how stupid do you think I am that you think that I'm supposed to think that I'm so fucking special that you aren't going to lie to me? Right. Like, that I'm so fucking great that, like, you're not going to lie to me.
I love the fact that you have a beef with your parents, because your mom. I'm the same way. And,
oh, really? What's their thing?
Well, my parents have the same... probably are as interested in your career as they are in my career. And the same, they look the same. Some great... I have some great, you know, lack of interest stories on my mom's side, if you'd like to hear one.
I'd love to hear
one. Couple classics. And I mean, I just got some humdingers. But I'd say the one... And anyone who knows me knows no exaggeration, no hyperbole. I don't need to. This is how bad they are. This is verbatim and true. At a certain point, I guess it was about 10 years ago, I was simultaneously for a couple of years on MTV and on Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. Had a couple shows on Comedy Central and a show on MTV. Or I think I just had the man show on Comedy Central and MTV. MTV was a nightly one-hour show called Loveline, and it was well-rated, and they would just run the shit out of it. MTV's real cheap. We'd gang-tape these hour-long shows, me and Dr. Drew, and they'd run them 10 times a day. So I was on MTV and Comedy Central for about a two-year period simultaneously. My mother, at dinner one night at a Thai restaurant that I was paying for, because I had the two shows on cable, was sitting there with my sister. My parents are divorced, my grandmother and other various step family members and things. About eight of us sitting at a table. And my mom, just sort of apropos of nothing, announced to the table, I don't know, we must have been talking about what's on TV or if you've seen this show. She said, you know, I got another one of these flyers in the mail today wanting me to buy cable television. I think it was like $19.95 or something like that for the basic package. And then she looked at the table and she surveyed the entire table and she said, can anyone give me one good reason why I should buy cable? One. It was so ironic that she said one good reason, because her son had two goddamn shows on cable. And not, I wasn't doing like, it wasn't like specials. It was like, every single night you could find your son not
who
doing a guest appearance on hosting an hour-long strip show on cable and then the man show. And she needed one good...
Did anybody speak up?
Well, this is the beauty of the group. Nope. Not a one. And here's where the real crime occurs. Not even me. Not because I'm proud, not because I'm angry, not because I bit my lip. I literally didn't think of it. And that means now when I tell people, it's not that I have low self-esteem. I have no self-esteem.
Oh.
Meaning, not bad. It didn't occur to me.
You're like those people who don't feel things.
Yes.
You just don't.
Burn me with a cigarette butt right now in my eyeball and see if I blink. No, what I'm saying is I have no self-esteem in the sense that a low self-esteem person would have went, well, I guess your show's not funny enough, or I guess she doesn't love you enough to take. I have no self-esteem, which is, I didn't think of it. I literally sat there and I said, they have cooking shows. You like cooking. They have gardening shows. You could watch those.
There's movie channels.
2 hours later, I was in my car driving to Loveline, the radio show, and I thought, wait a minute. I have two shows on fucking cable. That's when it dawned on me.
Did she get it?
Did she ever get cable?
Yeah.
Ironically, I think she has cable now, but it was after my reign on cable. So she waited until I'd been completely removed from cable. And I say the same for my dad. I think my mom and my dad may have cable now, but it was after I was off cable that they decided to squeeze the trigger. Let's wait till our son. Wait till the cable stations have rid themselves of this scourge known as my son. and then we will make the purchase.
And one day they'll get like iPods and computer to listen to your podcast when it's way, it's not even on anymore.
I don't think that's ever going to happen. So, yes, that's my family. And by the way, nothing personal.
No.
But that's kind of the problem.
Well, I got to the point I suffer from actually pretty bad anxiety,
suffer from anxiety.
Yeah, like
why?
Like
how? Oh, because your mom.
Well, no, I think probably like from whatever, you know, the childhood bullshit, blah blah blah. I understand why I'm that way, but I do have it, and I'm getting really, really good at handling it. But the other thing that's happening when there's more. When there's more, there's paparazzi or pictures, or I stopped actually telling my mom, because before I tell her, I'm like, here, I'd email her and, you know, she wouldn't watch, or she would watch eventually, or whatever she'd do. But now I just don't say it. But now it's because I don't want to talk about anything.
Right.
Like, as I don't want to talk about, because I feel like, it's, can I just do it and then let
well,
it be?
Well, speaking of the paparazzi, and I like the anxiety and all that stuff. Boy, you're really attractive with all this neuroses and anger and hatred toward family members. I really love that. But and a great sense of humor, which sadly was probably forged by your mother tossing
and my uncle
novels
raping me.
At yourself and your uncle raping you.
Yeah.
The is it true?
No.
Oh, damn.
But
all right. But your family,
but I can pretend it is.
At least metaphorically raping you emotionally. Emotionally being raped. Which
I was raped
worse.
With Gone with the Wind.
Yes, you were raped with a novel. Mm-hmm. And paperback or hardbound?
Oh, hardback.
Wow.
I know.
Wow. All right. So I love all that about you. And again, maybe that's what forged your sense of humor. Instead, you just have an eating disorder, perhaps. But
throwing up is not an eating disorder. It's a way to control your diet.
Okay. And speaking of the paparazzi, dating famous guys. Now, if you can avoid that, you can avoid the paparazzi.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what your feeling is toward that.
Well, I had this conversation with somebody the other day, like, and it was with an ex. Mm-hmm. Who was upset that, like, you know, he knew who the person was, and he was like, oh, because the other person, you know, because there's somebody else that's famous. And my thing is,
was the ex famous?
No.
Uh-huh.
But my thing is, I'm not looking for, I just want like a cute guy that's like, I like tall, athletic, nice guys. I'd like to date some guy that like had his, you know, like, had his own business or did something completely out of it. But I'm in the world where I'm meeting people. So, like, the thing is, when I talk to my girlfriend, when there's different people I meet, I'm like, well, any girl would say no. Like, when this guy's like so charming and he's like great, and especially if you see him in a movie, you're like, oh, he's so romantic, he's so great. And then the thing is, like, you hang out with them and you talk to them for even 10 minutes, you're like, oh, God, you actually might have Asperger's, for real. No one knows it.
Well, I mean, the thing about, I just spent an entire weekend with Keanu Reeves, so I know hunky when I see it. And, you know, the thing about it is obviously the guys are good looking, and then there's that it quality. And I don't know if the eyes of a woman are much different than a camera. Like, they recognize symmetry, and they recognize it, and they recognize charisma. I mean, if you really think about a camera lens, that's really a woman's eyeballs. It's not a guy's eyeballs. It's a woman's eyeballs. So whatever made them a star is going to make them attractive to you, plus then other women wanting them and money and
but
all sorts
but,
of things
but yeah,
that go
like,
along with that.
But I say that whenever you're dating, like, when they're like, what's a great pickup line? I don't think there is a great pickup line besides, like, hi, because it's all physical from the beginning. So if I see a guy, like, if I'm physically attracted to you, we're already good there. You can ruin it. I mean, I was at the, I had my Maxim cover party at the Super Bowl in Miami. Mm-hmm. There's this guy who, really good looking, successful, like, athlete guy, and there's girls around him, and he is, like, and we're talking, he's in my same little group, and he is the biggest idiot I've ever seen in my life. Like, is just stupid.
Yeah.
And I'm just, and, like, there, doesn't matter how successful or rich and really good looking, and every, you can see, if they don't have it, they don't have it.
Yeah, well, that's why I do find that lots of guys tend, especially the good-looking hunky guys, sort of play it close to the vest with the verbiage. Like the aforementioned Keanu Reeves, you don't see him popping up on tons of talk shows. And
he's not the brightest?
Jimmy Kimmel Live, here's Keanu Reeves. I sat down in a trailer, in our trailer, for our race trailer, and our locker room, and we sat there and talked for like an hour the other day. Yeah. It was like some kind of weird gay date where everyone had left, and all the drivers were at the driver's meeting, and we weren't looking at the clock, and we're just talking about stuff.
And there's adult juice boxes scattered around the floor.
I went through a baker's dozen of our juice boxes. And no, he's a very thoughtful, interesting guy who is not a dummy, but he's not quick on his feet, and he's not quick with the one-liners. Mm-hmm. And I think in a situation where he's a guest sitting in that chair, he's not going to come across as particularly fast, and he's not going to be pop, 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 pop. Mm-hmm. So best to stay out of that chair and have people just assume that he's an international man of mystery than sit in that chair and have you go, meh, he's not that funny. So that's the whole thing. Like, and as far as women goes, that guy, the good-looking, athletic, hunky guy who you saw at your Maxim party, should have kept his fucking mouth shut.
Yeah.
I don't mean grunt when you ask him what time it is. I just mean don't open your mouth and start saying a whole bunch of stupid stuff that lets you know that he's an idiot. There's a way to kind of go, I don't know anything about computers, so I don't really talk about computers. I don't want you to think I'm an idiot.
Yeah, that makes sense. But, you know, the other thing about, like, dating, it's not, like, about dating. It's just about who I'm attracted to and who I like, and it's not about any specific.
Could you be attracted to a guy who wasn't that great in the looks department, but that had other things going on?
Yeah, the kind of guys that I've dated, they have a different, like, there's a lot of variation. Mm-hmm. So
you don't have a type per se.
Well, I think the type is like kind of like they're usually taller and they're kind of boyish, but then some of them look dopier. Some of them kind of have like, some of them like have big ears. Some kind of like, I think I like a little bit of the dorkier look, but still somebody that's, it's the dorkier look that's like secure, you know, that's like.
Right. And you have, I don't want to bring up money because I always think about this with money and women. Like a lot of people think women are attracted to money, and I always think they're attracted to whatever it is got the guy the money, because the guy's a go-getter and has an entrepreneurial spirit and he's successful. I think they're more attracted to success than the actual dollar.
To me, I don't think it's like when it comes to like actors. Yes, they work for producers and directors, but generally they don't answer to anyone else. Like they can choose to do the movie or not do the movie. When they're doing it, it's their choice to be there. And like I would never want to date somebody that had to answer to somebody else. I think that's what the money kind of, sometimes it's money kind of comes with that. Like if you own your own business or if you're an actor, I would date a guy who was an actor that didn't have any money too. I like somebody who doesn't, who has their shit together, where like I'm not paying for everything all the time, but that they, you know, it feels manly. Cause you want to feel like with a man that you're taken care of in a way that you're, that things are good. But I pay for a lot of stuff when I'm in a relationship. But I also, I think that I want someone that doesn't have to answer to somebody else. Like, I got to go to work, or I got to answer this call from a client, or I don't like any of that shit.
Well, it's also a turnoff, especially for a woman, to see a guy sort of, you know, do that thing where, you know, whether you're in the middle of the date or wherever you are and the phone rings, it's, oh shit, Herb Adelstein's on the phone.
Yeah.
God damn it, I got to get out of here. Oh, he's going to get pissed.
They just look like a pussy.
They look like a pussy.
Yeah, to me, I'm just like, oh, that's not. And then, like, later on when you're fucking, you're like, oh, you can't. You know, and they're like, yeah. And they're like, you can't. I don't believe you right now.
You're bringing that, oh, when the guy's like, come on, man.
Yeah, and I'm like,
you know,
oh,
you
yeah.
love it. You know, I'm the boss.
I'm like, no, not really. No. So I think that's where the.
You'd rather be with Herb. Because he's the boss.
I think that's where that,
you gotta be in charge.
That's where the actor kind of, you know, like, or musicians or artists who are like independently, like on their own.
Yeah,
and you know,
and sexually, you like a guy who's in charge too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want a guy going, what do you want to do? Does that feel good? Is that all
right? Or like when when they get too like lovey-dovey right away, when they're like, let's make love, and you're like, oh my god, did you really just say that? Because it's called fucking, you idiot.
Yeah.
And like, and when they like, when somebody asks you way too early, like, so where is this going, or where are we at? Thinking? I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's like, and I understand like when girls do that to guys, how annoying that is.
Yeah.
It's just like, can we just not be here? Can we just like exist? Does it have to be a title right now?
Yeah.
It fucking pisses me off.
But you say that, but do you mean it?
You know
what I mean, like,
because
you met the right guy.
If I met the right guy, I'd be
waiting for that guy. Yeah. To go, like, where
so if I don't answer that, it's because you're not really the right guy.
Yeah.
The same way the guy, if a guy's an answer for a girl, she's not the right girl, right?
Look, anyone who's listening, when somebody gives you that, right now, I'm just not in the, you know, I'm just coming off of a relationship and I just want to cool down and I'm not looking for any, you know, if you hear a sentence as it pertains to you in the relationship, if it begins with right now, just walk away.
Because they don't.
See if you can fuck one more time and then walk away. Because whatever you're looking for ain't happening with this yeah. person. And it's such bullshit that, you know, I'm really focused on my career right now. Bullshit. If you're in love with this dude, like, you have a guy that I'm sure flips your cookies.
Not right now.
Okay, not right now. But when or if in the past, you know what I mean? You mm-hmm. picture that guy. Like,
yeah.
The one that got away. The one that you were like, yeah, I was really attracted to this guy, and I think it could have gone somewhere, but it just didn't end up happening, mm-hmm. you know? If you're really into somebody, you don't give them the right now. You give them the, I'm in the middle of my career, and that's one side of my brain, and then I got another side of my brain, and I'm going to use that on you. Yeah. Like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm hanging on to you with both hands, and I'll be pursuing my career.
Yeah.
And you certainly don't have that, I just came off a rocky relationship. All the more reason to be with this new person I'm wildly in love with. Make things right, you know? So it's total bullshit mm-hmm. when people do that. And it's that way with everything. I always tell people, you know, and it's so sad because, like, you don't know what to say because, like, when you're talking to people and it's like, you're like, I thought you were going out with Sharon this weekend. She's got a college friend who's come in from out of town. And so she said this weekend's not. No, she said she's not into you because we all know. When people are motivated, I always say this. Look at a junkie. A junkie is out of a job, unemployable, living on the streets, panhandling, doing whatever, and can support a $500 a day coke habit.
Because he wants
with
it.
With no job, but he wants it.
But I think the biggest thing is people are so oblivious and people don't, like when girls give, like, he didn't, oh, I text him. You know what? You know, I heard, Googling online, there's something wrong with T-Mobile. There's some towers down in the Midwest. Well, is he on the East Coast? He's on the East Coast. Then how does that affect? It's just he didn't get that. Like, people, like, give themselves so many excuses for just, like, sometimes, like, the guy doesn't like you. Sometimes you don't like the guy. It's just...
Bottom line. And for guys and for girls, if you and I had a date this weekend... Yeah.
Now we're talking. Juice boxes.
I'll bring over the Domino's. You get the juice boxes.
I'll be Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, that's all you have to do. We don't have to go any further than that.
Our conversation in the locker room.
We'll watch a little pay-per-view, mixed martial arts.
$50 to just you and me?
We'll go half.
You know what? You do really like me.
We'll go Dutch on a pay-per-view.
Dutch. Okay, never mind.
I'll bring in. All right. I'll get the pay-per-view.
I'll bring the wine.
You bring the juice box. And I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get so shit-faced that we'll get a full-size box of wine, except for we'll put the little juice straw in it, because that'll be like our restrictor plate. Like, how loaded could you get? If you just sucked like a Hoover for 3 hours straight, you could only get so buzzed off that straw. It's really...
Well,
it's
you get more because you're so lightheaded from having to suck so hard.
Oh, you get a nice buzz from that. But it is interesting, which is the straw, which is, you know, 3/32 of an inch is in terms of its inner diameter. You could only get so much booze through that. It's like one of those drinking games where, like, you do a shot of beer every minute for 90 minutes. You can only get so shit-faced.
Yeah.
So I like this. So I'm going to bring over, but let's just say, I'm going to bring over a couple of boxes of wine, and then we'll put the little mini juice straw into that box, and you can sit there nonstop without breathing, like your uncle in that Buick in Oklahoma City, and just keep sucking on that thing and maintain a nice buzz all the way through the undercard and the actual main event. But here's what I'm saying. If I was really into you and you were really into me, and we had this pay-per-view juice box, small straw buzz date set up for Saturday night. And then your friend called and she said, oh, hey, I'm in town and I'm only in town for the weekend and whatever. You'd tell her, hey, Tammy, we'll go out to breakfast Sunday. Yeah. But I got a juice box date with the Ace Man on Saturday night. I'm really into this cat. Or you'd say, you know what? Come over right now. We'll hang for a couple hours, but you got to clear out at 6:30 because I got to take a shower. The Ace Man's coming over with the juice box or whatever it was, right? And if one of my friends called and said, hey, man, I'd be like, hey, fuck off. I got a date going. And even if it was a serious situation, like, well, it's going to take, I'd be like, look, I'll talk to you on the phone and then tomorrow we'll go out for breakfast. But tonight, here's what I'm doing. That's what people do when they're into each other.
Like it.
What I wouldn't do is call you and go, hey, man, one of my buddies from out of town's only in for the weekend. And so if you hear that excuse, and I don't care how good it sounds, it's an excuse.
But don't guys from the beginning, like girls, some girls want to hang out like 5 days in a row.
Right.
Like if a guy really likes a girl, like even in the beginning, like they like to pace it out. Like they like to go, okay, I'm going to hang out with you like, you know, twice this week. And then I'm going to like let it, I don't want to like jump right into it right away.
Yeah, it sort of depends. And as a guy, you have to worry, or you should worry, and people don't do it enough. What message are you sending to this person when you've announced, when you're going on 18 straight days of seeing them? You are telling this person that you're into them. Perhaps, maybe it's just a fuck fest, but you're telling them emotionally, hey, you may be the next Mrs. Douchebag. So
even if they think that they might, they just don't want that message to go out too soon.
Right. You have to be careful what message you send to women, because the psyche is a little more delicate. And also, as I learned from Dr. Drew, when a woman becomes intimate with a guy, there are whatever released.
Yes. There's like endorphins.
Serotonin. Or endorphins or whatever's released. And there's a bonding that takes place. So if you're being physical with a woman and then planning on just getting up and leaving, that's going to be an issue, because there is
they're going to start cutting.
They're going to start cutting, right? Just like daddy, kind of. There's going to be issues. So, and I wonder, I'm not making this as an accusation.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But I'll point my finger in the air, not at you.
Okay.
But I have met and been with women in the past that do that. Oh, I'm a tomboy and I like to get it on and no strings attached, and I don't like a guy who gets too gooey too early and blah, blah, blah. But that's a little bit of a veneer. In their core, they're more vulnerable. There's a part of them that is a little more fragile, that could potentially be hurt, that some of it is a little bit of a front.
I think that when anybody says they are one way, it's all a front. No one is completely one way. There is no one in my life that I'm like head over heels, like bananas for. So everyone's going to be like that. But when I do find that guy, I like to cook and clean. I'm not looking for the one. I don't like right now, things are a little bit different for me. I'm like, I used to always want kids. And now I'm like, oh, well, I mean, they're there for a long time, you know,
right.
They're kind of with you.
Yeah.
And that doesn't sound so awesome.
Well, no, but the biological clock has been pushed back a decade.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be, hey, man, if you're 30, you don't have kids. Oh, what's up? Now it's if you're 40, you know, so you got time.
But I am the one that at the party where I'm definitely saying the really inappropriate things, and I'm hanging out and like, and I love fucking, you know, probably, you know, just as much as the guy does, but I like great sex, and I like joking around and laughing, and I like going to baseball games, but I also don't want to fucking watch, you know, sit around and watch boxing all night long. And I'm like, you know, those girls are like, oh my gosh, I just like whatever, I just want to hang out and let's watch boxing, or oh yeah, let's go to this concert and hang out and do mosh pit. Like they want to be like that guy. I'm not that. I'm like, no, I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. I do want to eventually. I'm a one girl, one guy, one girl thing. Like,
yeah.
I'm not like.
Monogamy.
Yeah, but if it's the right person,
yeah.
And if not, like I don't really.
But when you're not, when you're not dating, like when you say,
like
I'm curious about two things that people do, which I find interesting. I've never been able to pull it off myself. Like, were you like? I remember when I used to watch Love Connection, and Chuck Woolery would like do that profile, or like he's Bob, and he's a city inspector, and he comes from Tustin. And he says he dates about three times a week. And I thought, what does that mean, dates three times a week? Now, I'm sure he's bullshitting. Is that three different women? If it's one woman, what the fuck are you doing on Love Connection? And when people go, I'm dating, but nothing serious, I've never felt comfortable with the idea of, I understand fucking. Like, I understand.
You mean dating more than 1% of the time?
Yeah. Like, and yeah, like I, seriously, like, dating a few people feels weird.
I've never did that ever. And because when I like somebody, I like, and I don't, I go from like no relationship to relationship and then right. nothing. Yeah. And then, so when I like somebody, I'm there. But only recently, I could do the, go on this date with this guy, and then like in a couple weeks to go on this date with this guy, and then still like be talking or texting with this guy, because no one is, because I like those guys enough.
They're yeah,
like,
but oh. no one's.
But I, yeah, I'm like, well, and I'm going, well, maybe I should stop. Maybe I'll end up liking them more, but I don't think that that's
well,
how
you
I
like them enough not to say no if they ask you if you want to do something
but
that sounds
if,
like fun.
If Sally comes into town for the weekend, we're not having breakfast, we're hanging out on Saturday instead.
Right. That's where you're at right
that's
now.
That's where I'm at. But I can actually date. But what I'm finding is I feel like the guy in the thing, and not because I'm the cool tomboy girl, but just because of where I'm at and who these people are to me, that they're getting a little, like, annoyed, or they're like, they haven't guys don't really ask so much, are you dating other people?
Right.
Somebody did, and then felt really awkward immediately. They're like, no, man, I shouldn't have asked that. And I just
Bill Shatner? Because I know you're going through the entire Star Trek cast, new and old.
Apartments.com. Most people know that Apartments.com is the most popular place to find a place. That's because Apartments.com has the most rental listings and most ways to find them. Thanks to some of the most powerful tools like 3D virtual tours. So you're most likely to find your most right place, which most everyone would agree is good news. Unless you're weird and prefer to have less than most. Make the most obvious move for your next move and use Apartments.com, the most popular place to find a place.
And that was Olivia Munn back in 2010, talking about juice boxes, booze, dating. I remember her being a little bit sick during that episode.
You can't really pick it up in her voice, but that makes sense. This is post-Attack of the Show, pre-Psylocke and X-Men Apocalypse.
That's right. But anyway, it was really cool getting to see her. Remember, I didn't see a lot of celebrities back then, so it was a pretty big deal for me. And
very cool.
Yeah. And you see, just so much has changed. That was in 2010. That's over 11 years ago. All right. Let's get going with our final clip. Got some Rotten Tomatoes game. Number 99.
Wow. After episode or game number 98 with Ernie Hudson from last week. This is Adam Carolla Show 2013. Scott Keneally and Matt Atchity. Scott, not on this portion. Atchity is Gina Grad and Brian Bishop. It's from February of 2017. Number 99. Check it out.
Now the game with Matt Atchity. RottenTomatoes.com is where you go. Down 111 pounds?
Rotten or fresh.
Oh, my gosh.
Jesus.
Matt, real quick, who do we like for best picture this year? Who do you like?
I think it's most likely going to be La La Land.
Kind of has to be, doesn't it?
I think so. Yeah, there's a chance that Moonlight will take it, but I think that the momentum is going to be La La Land.
I'm so sad. I wish it was Lion.
Yeah,
I
Lion.
Loved
I liked Lion a lot.
Did you? What did you like? This is the only one I haven't seen is Lion. I think
I liked Lion a lot. I thought that was really good. Yeah, I don't. I think it's going to get shut out of any awards that it's up for.
Is there? What was your personal favorite? Was
my
it Lion?
I think Moonlight was one of my favorites. Although, having rewatched Arrival, I loved Arrival.
I liked Arrival too.
I liked Arrival a lot. I was. yeah, I would love to see a rival get it.
Okay. La La Land aside, mm-hmm. nothing feels like Best Picture to me. They all feel like well-done films, but they don't have that. But maybe I'm just romanticizing Best Picture.
No, I think it's one of those years where it's obvious and it's all it's going to be.
It's a sort of Lord of the Rings year where it's just going to take everything.
Because all the other ones just feel like nicely executed, nice films, but not film of the year. But all right, let's play the game.
Okay. So big movie in theaters this weekend. Didn't do huge box office, but brings yet another film from Ice Cube in Fist Fight. So this week's theme is Ice Cube movies.
All right.
All right, first up, 1995 film that Ice Cube wrote and starred in about his, one day, end of the week, he's not working that day. That movie is Friday.
You ain't got no job.
I think people like this film.
You think correctly.
I just watched it recently.
Not sure where the critics are at with it.
It's a weird movie because it's 90% comedy until the very end, and it's 10% very dramatic. And very scary at the end.
I'll say the critics liked it, didn't love it, with a 71.
I went a little lower because I think this was a cult hit. I don't think it was very popular or very well-reviewed at the time. I said 66.
72.
Friday is fresh at 77%.
And the people love it.
91. All right.
I remember. How does a movie like this have so few reviews?
It was bigger 5 years after it came out.
This
I
was
think
a cult
that it was when it came
at the
out.
Time.
Yeah,
at the time.
Yeah, and I think that it's a movie that people haven't gone back and reviewed a lot. 95 is right around when the site. That's a couple years before the site started, and so there wasn't the cottage industry in doing reviews. I mean, there's a lot more reviews out now, partly because a little bit because of us, because we send traffic out. So a movie like this released now would probably have close to 100 reviews.
Also, there's a great moment. I remember seeing this when I was a kid, in 1990, late 90s. Siskel and Ebert did an episode with Michael Jordan because they're all Chicago guys, and they kind of worshipped him a little bit. And they all started talking about movies, like what's your favorite movie? And he said, probably Friday. Friday's probably my favorite movie. And neither of them had seen it. I think one of them hadn't heard of it. Like, neither of them had seen it. They're like, oh, we haven't seen that movie. And yeah. Friday was a pretty well-known, everyone knows Friday, everyone our age, but it was a generational thing. A lot of critics hadn't seen it.
Yep. All right.
All right. Next up, 1997 film that finds Ice Cube playing a supporting role with Jennifer Lopez and John Voight about a group in the Amazon in search of mysterious Indians, and they find a gargantuan snake called Anaconda.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Voight doing a great accent.
It's like Argentinian or Brazilian or something.
Something like that.
Yeah. Fun. Fun movie, you know, exactly what it was, but critics couldn't have been kind, although, you know, you could do worse. I would say the critics give it a 29.
Yeah, right there with you. I said 33.
I said 37.
Anaconda is rotten at 38%.
Close game so far.
All right, next up is
this is a weird one where the people have it at 24 because it's like the people are normally like, yeah, it's called Anaconda. It's a giant snake that eats people, 77. The whole movie was about a giant snake eating people.
People are watching like, wait a minute, this isn't porn?
Yeah.
Oh.
This is a very weird one where the people are lower than the critics. You'd never think that people would be lower on this kind of movie. But anyway, go ahead.
All right. Next up, 2002 film finds Ice Cube playing a man named Calvin who owns a shop in Chicago, which happens to be a barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
What's the movie?
Barbershop. Now, is
Cedric
there
the Entertainer, Anthony Anderson's in this.
I'll try to give a couple of points because sometimes I think there's a cultural thing and there's like Whitey, over there in the on one of the coasts reviewing, and you don't want to go, well, this is not funny, because now it's kind of like you're just going, oh, you don't get the, you're not down with the cult, you don't get the jokes, or you don't get the scene, you're not part of the scene. So I'll always give it a little pad because I don't think anyone wants to just not get it and be the squarest, whitest dude on the planet.
Right. Was there a sequel to this?
Yeah, there have been sequels. I think there's been a few.
There have been three sequels and a spinoff.
Oh, my.
And okay. Friday had another Friday, I think, too.
Two more, I think.
Okay. So this is the first Barbershop.
Yes.
All right. I say they liked it. They didn't love it. 68.
That's exactly what I said. 68.
56.
Barbershop is certified fresh at 82%.
Oh, 62 with the people. Yeah.
And I resisted the urge after the second movie to say this is where Gina starts to throw the game away.
Well, mm-hmm. It always is.
All right.
Next up, 2005 film that has Ice Cube taking over a role started by Vin Diesel, an action movie. He plays a criminal who turns into an operative for the government. XXX, State of the Union.
Mm. When did this come out?
2005.
Okay.
This was the sequel to XXX that Vin Diesel wouldn't do.
I'm going to say there's certain movies. This, I don't know, the Vin Diesel one was the extreme sports guys with all the fake tattoos are starting to drive me nuts. Like I'm trying to think. I'm seeing way too many fake tattoos in movies. It's starting to bother me a little bit. I wish I'd just let them go. They look good, but there's too much. Yeah. All right. I'm going to say they had to hate it. But is it in the 20s or is it in the 40s kind of thing? You know, usually in these movies, there's enough action to push it into the 40s. 39.
Oh, I said 40.
I said 29.
XXX State of the Union is rotten at 16%.
Okay.
Wow. Good. Wow. Okay.
When you said this is the XXX that Vin Diesel wouldn't do.
That was that point in Vin Diesel's career where he had three franchises and he suddenly says, I'm not doing any more of these. I'm not doing any more franchises. Wow. He stopped doing Pitch. He didn't want to do a Pitch Black sequel. He didn't want to do another XXX movie. He didn't want to do a Fast and Furious. And he's back to doing all of them.
Didn't he have an ill-fated foray into like kind of serious? Like he grew his hair out and had a lawyer or something?
Well, yeah. So there was that movie he did, Find Me Guilty, with Sidney Lumet. But he wanted to be like a serious actor and realized it's more fun to be an action star.
Oh, I'm Vin Diesel.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Okay, last film, 2014, finds Ice Cube teaming up with somebody who's one of the most bankable stars in movies right now, Kevin Hart. Ice Cube plays a cop. Kevin Hart is his soon-to-be brother-in-law who's a security guard, goes along on a day working in a ride-along.
All right. The poster's perfect. The most perfect. And I assume will be judged as very inappropriate a few years from now. It's a very... I just don't think the culture's going to be proud of this poster in a few years.
There's a very silly mugging going on.
Ice is given the look that Ice always gives with the scary eyebrows and the flared nostrils. And Kevin's
given the who me.
Kevin Hart... He's the new. Richard Pryor turned into every single Richard Pryor movie. It's just Richard Pryor. I'm scared. And the poster would be him like running with the whole Klan mob behind him and him just going like, whoa! He started off making these really cool movies like Blue Collar and stuff and Silver Streak and stuff. And then it just turned into I'm scared. And that was every one of his movies. And that's. Kevin Hart's got a little of that going here. Okay. I don't know what the score is with this game. I got to be honest, but I think it's tight, and I think everybody's within striking distance here.
There a sequel to this?
Come on.
I don't remember this movie. Okay.
I was just watching him and The Rock doing the sequel, even if it's unbeknownst to them.
Right.
I did this earlier today. All right. I will say, we don't think it's going to be fresh, but I don't think people hated it. 51.
55.
51.
Ride Along is rotten at 19%.
Oh, no!
We might all three be in triple digits.
There was a sequel.
That is on the table.
Right.
That shouldn't have asked.
58 with the folks.
Jeez Louise.
All right.
There are only 13 points separating you guys.
Start off well, too. Yeah. That's the scary part.
Adam Carolla, you're coming in with a score of 84.
That might be first.
Mm-hmm.
Bald Brian, your score is enough for third place. Gina Grad takes the win with 77 Brian's 90 and Adam's 84.
Wow.
Good luck, Charm. Matt Atchity back with her. Rotten Tomatoes.
And that was the 99th game of Rotten Tomatoes game ever played back in 2017.
Number 100 coming up tomorrow. Cruella Classics feed. Make sure you hear it. It's crazy how many times you guys have played this game and how it never seems to get old. Every single one is funny in its own unique way.
Oh, baby. I can't wait. We're going to triple digits. Before we get out of here, a couple things. First off, if you need another podcast to listen to, may I suggest The Water Cooler? It's with me, Matt Fondelier, Mike Dawson, Gary Smith, Kalen Bean.
Gary Smith, the host of the show, he's great.
Yeah, he's really
he's dreamy. He's straight up dreamy.
Yes, I agree. So if, like, for instance, the urinal gate thing, we did that on Water Cooler first. So if you guys really enjoy the urinal gate stuff, we do a lot of stuff.
I know, I heard it. I also co-signed the Water Cooler recommendation.
Thank you. So check that out. It's on
Cruel
Digital. I'm a patron. Oh, see, look at that. And also, got to remind everybody about Geico, because if you own or rent, then let's make it easy for you by bundling those policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. All right? Such a great thing to do. Highly recommend it. All you got to do is just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. How easy is this?
I heard it's Geico Easy.
Then you heard right. It is Geico Easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Cruella Classics returns tomorrow, so make sure to tune in. We'll see you there. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Super Fan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.